Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for April the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the tradition of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Without further ado, a quick recap of yesterday's show. Kirk Crosby was with me, and we talked about this Oregon track coach blasts mask rule after one of his runners completely collapses from what they call complete oxygen debt. Okay. The college fix had the piece, and what a shame that is, but at least more people are starting to realize the truth and come to their senses. Even the CDC just changed their guidelines. If you've been vaccinated now, you don't have to wear a mask outdoors. These people are crazy, folks. They're absolutely off their rockers crazy. We also talked in detail about the Seth Rich bombshell. Somebody wanted to pay, or did actually pay, a lot of money to murder Seth Rich. Yeah, the FBI reignites the mystery. I guess there was a cryptic pay for his death document that got released, or I should say forced to be released. The FBI, in its forced release of heavily redacted FBI documents regarding murder. The Gateway Pundit previously noted the FBI lied and said they didn't have any more paperwork. Well, it turns out through the FOIA requests, they did have more paperwork. We also talked about, here's your new pizza delivery robot. Yeah, they're testing it in a single neighborhood in Houston. Domino's Pizza delivers. They text a code to your cell phone, and then you bust out and punch it in, and hot and ready pizza for you. We talked about that as some of the distractive stories they tell you. While the truth is, the special court, that's the FISA court, scolds the FBI for monitoring of Americans, writes Charlie Savage. For a second year, the nation's secret surveillance court is pointing to widespread violations of people's individual rights by the FBI. Yeah, they literally seek to gather emails and information without warrants. But don't worry, the judge slapped the hand of the FBI and let's go ahead and continue for another year. What a disgraceful shame. We had on constitutional attorney Jim Clymer with us. With Constitution, the Constitution Party, so constitutionparty.org. And we talked a lot about that. We talked a lot about the Homeland Security Department plans, what they call extremism review, writes the New York Times. What that means is they're going after me and you. Yeah, and we talked about that in depth and what a shame that has become. Jim Clymer doing a phenomenal job. We wrapped up, though, not to leave any broadcast in negative territory. We ended with one of the greatest news stories, in my opinion, of all time. Here's what it says. Australia calls nations of the world to pray and fast for the United States of America. Yeah, they want a 7-day fast from April 30th to May the 6th, 2021. Christian Newswire with the piece. Why those dates, you ask? Well, one day is the National Day of Prayer. And the other day is the National Day of Repentance. I don't know if you knew that. But the whole point in between April 30th through May 6th is 7-day fasting and praying for the United States worldwide, led by Australia. Talk about serving your neighbors, huh? Just thought it was a nifty, cool story. And that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Still available online, on demand. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word, tell the tale. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. And I would like to highlight that last story you talked about. I mean, that's just fantastic. Great work.
I agree. It's a really neat story. I just, man, I didn't know other countries were just literally leading the charge to pray for the great USA and fast. And I think we got to pray for those people, too. Just turn around and, yeah. What do they say, pay it forward, Kurt?
And what's so, well, I agree with that. And what's so amazing to me is that, you know, with our massive staff, you know, we found that story. You know, so many of these operations with, millions of times of more budget don't seem to have found it, Sam. I mean, they've just missed that. I mean, as far as I know, the Associated Press didn't find it. You know, CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, I mean, there's CNN. Somehow they just missed that story, Sam. I mean, what's so shocking, isn't it?
Well, it's hard with the newsrooms being so busy and the pandemic and such, Kurt. Right?
Well, it's I couldn't agree more. I mean, they're just so focused on you know, havoc and terror, like our friend Chuck Harder taught us so many years ago. If it bleeds, it leads. I mean, they're going to tell everybody about, you know, the havoc in India and the sad tale of people dying here and there and everywhere, and yet you get a story like that with Australia calling on, well, the world to pray for the United States, and man, it's crickets. You know,
yeah,
it's
there,
just
you go.
Amazing.
Wow. Sad tale to tell. Well, Biden's fixing to crank up one of your favorite organizations, Kurt.
See,
did you hear about this?
My favorite that would be something
cause
that
of
Biden
death.
Likes. Let's see. What would that be, Sam?
Let me prompt you. Cause of death.
Cause of death. That'd be government.
No, remember the photo I have of my family's grave?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cause
you're
of death.
Crank up the IRS.
Yes, sir.
Know. Oh, man.
True story. Listen to this. Headline.
Great news.
Biden seeking stronger IRS to fund his goals, they say. The president's American Families Plan. Don't you know we're going to raise the IRS, increase the IRS because of the Families Plan. But they call it, because of the president's American Families Plan, it'll be offset in part by a tax enforcement effort that the administration officials believe will raise $700 billion over a decade. Biden looking to pay for his ambitious economic agenda and shift more of the nation's tax burden to the wealthy, don't you know? I guess they will propose giving the Internal Revenue Service of the IRS an extra $80 billion and then more authority over the next decade, Kurt. There you have it.
Well, it's
so to our buddies like Ken Cromar and others, a big old shout out. The IRS is coming for you.
Well, yeah, and for you and for me, for anybody who fills out the paperwork or doesn't fill out the paperwork, because, you know, frankly, I want it. You know, I mean, they talk about the new math these days, you know, 2 + 2 = 5 or whatever the new number is. I mean, you can just make it up as you go. If you think there's fuzzy math going on in the schools, just try to figure out your taxes. I mean, you know.
Now, Kurt.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand this. I was trying to think of categories of people that wouldn't be caught in this dragnet. And at first, like you, I thought, well, people that fill out the paperwork. Then I thought, well, people that don't. And then I thought, people that are alive. And then I thought, well, no, they're even after dead people. And then I thought, well, you're awake. And, well, no, they're after you when you're asleep. And is there anybody that can escape this, Kurt?
Well, you know, it brings you back to that good old phrase they used to say, nothing is, you know, for sure except for death and taxes, you know. And, you know, in this case, you know, so many times it follows you after death. I mean, you know, when you look at it, Sam, I mean, like I've said before, I just truly don't believe you could find a worse system. Now, I know, you know, you could say, well, true big communism is where I'm talking about a system that you try to, you know, try to deal with. I mean, I use TurboTax, and I do my best to, quote, you know, complete all the forms and everything. Like this year, you know, we sold a van, and so then I've got to put in there, you know, the part about depreciation of a van or, you know, of a property you have. And TurboTax is like, hey, man, that number's wrong. And so I'm like, well, trying to fix it right, because somehow I've got it a little bit wrong. I don't really know. I mean, I'm sure if I called the IRS, they could tell me the exact number to put in there. And yet, you know, we've seen those stories where you call and you get the wrong answer, you know, so many times. If you ever get an answer, and I guess the beloved President Joe Biden is, you know, working on that with the $80 billion plan, don't you think?
I don't even know how to respond to this because it gets so abusive and so in your face and so difficult to survive. Why don't they just move to, you know, tariffs at the borders and apportionment taxes and jettison all these, in my opinion, Communist Manifesto style taxes?
Great idea.
All right, got a question for Kurt when we come back. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable, live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, here's my question for Kurt Crosby. Have you joined Mike Lindell's free speech platform called frankspeech.com? And I'm asking all of you in the audience as well. Have you all or have all of you joined Mike Lindell's free speech platform, frankspeech.com? Kurt?
You know, I've gone there several times, Sam, and made an attempt to do that, but I've not. I mean, every time it says something like, make sure and get back because we got millions of people trying to do this and we're working on it. We've got, you know, lots of people on it, et cetera. But I haven't seen a way to get it done. Did you already get it done?
No, I haven't seen a way to get it done either. However, when I go there now, go there really quick. It's kind of an interesting statement. Go to frankspeech.com. because they say that they have a ton of tweets already. What is it? 30 million tweets or something?
Well, they're going to call them tweets. I was thinking they'd call them Franks or, I don't know. Let's see.
All right, they say this. Sorry, I didn't have it right. Thank you for being part of Frank. Mm-hmm. With over 400 million stream requests in just 4 days, Frank's speech so far has been an epic success. Right now we're working on new features. Please check back. In the meantime, help save our country. And share absolute interference everywhere.
And that's that.
And they got share.
You remember share absolute interference is that YouTube that I sent you. And that's what, then they have a picture of that. Very, very well done presentation. I mean, about all that, just like the absolute proof one was done before. I mean, it's just impressive what he's done, you know, from a former crack addict, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know what really to do, because I don't really know where to join. I mean, I guess everybody else is just rocking on it, but I'm not. But I commend them for their work. I get that, as I mentioned before, you know, this is a massive, huge ramp up, folks. You know, if you get that kind of support and that many people signing up and everything else, let's not be very critical, but let's keep an eye on it and try to find out when and or how we can be part of it. Because I really think that, hey, is Mike Lindell going to really stand up for free speech, or is he just going to be the next guy to try to take control? I believe he'll stand up for free speech so far. And so I think that it's something that we need to kind of support and help and educate on and talk about and patiently work on. We need to give him all the room in the world to be able to make it work. And so anyway, that's the reason that I bring it up, is that even though we're not able to get in yet because it's so, you know, massive, hey, they've got 30 plus million what they call streams right now. So people are watching. It's a new place to get links or watch things that YouTube and others have been taken down. And they say it's supposed to be kind of a mixture of like a YouTube and a Twitter and a, you know, every new social media app, Kurt, has slightly different ways they go about sharing the love. I don't know what best way to say it, about, you know, communicating and interacting with one another and such. And so it's going to be something to behold. President Trump's working on his as well. And so we'll see kind of what happens. I don't know, when President Trump's will launch versus Mike Lindell's. I don't know when we'll be able to get into Mike Lindell's. But again, Ben Swan and others have been working on that as well, Kurt. So that's something to kind of really keep an eye on. A lot of people are doing a lot of good things. Now, I've just been kind of stable in my little old radio offering and stuff like that. But we're hoping to make that grow, too. It's tough to get new media services up and running. It's not an easy task. So,
you'd know all about that, Sam. I mean, basically, doing that over the years, and I think the MyPillow guy is, going from former crack addict to CEO of MyPillow and bringing all those employees and all those products to market, and I'm sure that when he decided to do that, he had no idea where it would lead him, you know, for sure. But now when he's working on this whole Frank speech .com thing, I guarantee you he's got a whole lot of opposition. For example, there's the Frank-speech.com people that put up this thing. It says, MyPillow guy makes 4-hour documentary about chicken dishes. Mike Lindell presents absolute poultry, you know. So, you know, we talk about absolute interference. So these guys are basically just, they've got, they say it's the sequel to the sequel to the sequel with new evidence proving that General Flynn's chicken is way better than General Tso's chicken. You know, so they're basically, they're running interference, if you will, Sam. And
they're running interference. They're also tossing a little bit of levity along the way.
Yeah, that's right. And they're, I guarantee you, behind the scenes, there'll be a lot more. If I would have told you that, people like, what was the opponent to Twitter that came out, you know, Parler? Was it Parler?
Yeah, Parler's one of them. Gab
Parler,
was another.
You know, Parler was an early one, I think, you know, and if I would have told you right around the election time or just before or just after that, Parler would all of a sudden just get shut down by Amazon Web Services because basically they didn't agree with them somehow with, you know, I mean, if you'd said, look, you're going to see the Google guys, the Twitter guys, and the Amazon guys, Facebook, et cetera, all line up against, you know, the side of speech that, you know, President Trump and others, Mike Lindell, offer. If I would have said they'd shut those down before, you know, most people, I think, would have said,
most people would have said, you're crazy, you're off your rocker, not happening, come on, Sam. But Sam Butchman would have said, I know they will. I know they can. And why do I say that? And why do I believe I have a track record? I haven't really focused on those services to grow our radio network. Yeah, I put a couple of tweets out on Twitter. And yeah, I've got a Facebook account just because why not? But I haven't depended on them for revenue. Now, we could have grown 100-fold faster, Kurt, if we would have, like everybody else, jumped on the, hey, let's run YouTube, you know, videos of my radio programs or your, you know, comments on this and that. And we could have really pitched ourselves and put and then tied revenue to it via the revenue-generating capabilities of YouTube and stuff like that, Google Ads and everything else. While everybody else was adding Google Ads to their sites, I was making sure that Google Ads did not appear on my sites. Okay, so I took an absolute opposite approach because I knew what can and will happen. And so everybody else can say, Sam, you're just tiny. You don't know how to grow. You don't understand marketing. They're right. But I also know that I'm not melting down because I'm not depending on a ton of revenue like those guys are. I just run a lean, mean operation. And frankly, we haven't, not counting being threatened to be taken down, not counting them trying to attack our credit card charging and all this kind of stuff, which I don't know how to control at this point. We've done our very best to stay as independent and simple and clean as we possibly can. So anyway, I would have been one that would say, oh, they'll take you down. You bet they will. They got Operation Choke Points real. And Operation Choke Point 2.0 is really attacking people over credit cards at this very moment, Kurt. But they're going to work on Operation Choke Point 3.0. Write this down, too. And what they're going to do is they're going to start choking off your ability to even send out your streams or to send out your debt. That's coming. Unless Americans stand up enough to stop it. Okay, we've let Joe literally take the helm. And now our healthcare questions are in jeopardy. A national vaccine passport's literally, you know, in the mix. Biden's seeking a stronger IRS. I mean, what will that do to the population and the society? Biden wanting to spend ourselves into oblivion. I mean, inflation's going to take hold like you wouldn't believe. But I just want to say, have you joined Mike Lindell's free speech platform, frankspeech.com? Please go check it out. So not only you got Mike Lindell working on a platform, you got former President Donald Trump working on a platform. You've also got Del Bigtree teaming up with Ben Swan working on another free, I don't know what you call it, open source platform or whatever you want to call it. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things, and I commend them all and support them in their serious efforts to get it done. By the way, Ashley Babbitt, that's the woman that got shot on January the 6th. She was going through one of the broken doors into the Capitol. Maybe she was trespassing, but she certainly wasn't threatening any cops or anything. Well, now Ashley Babbitt's family is going to sue the Capitol Police because the officer that shot an unarmed woman who was not an immediate threat to any of the police, to the shooter, meaning the cop, and or any member of Congress, Bob under WND.com with the peace, Kurt. That ought to stir it up a bit, huh?
Well, yeah, and, you know, maybe they'll get to the bottom of it and tell us what happened. But, you know, I mean, we just, it's been crickets on that story, hasn't it, for so long?
Yes, it has. And my opinion on that is that a cop got trigger happy and they were trying to send a message to the crowd that you will die if you confront government. And therefore, they sent the message loud and clear. They've already dismissed the case and said the cop's not guilty of anything. But now the lawsuit rolling. You want to know why? Because of the law. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
On the eve of his 100th day in office, President Biden will speak to a joint session of Congress Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Reports are saying he will pitch $4 trillion of spending on child care, education, and family leave, among other topics. With more than 1.6 million valid signatures, the California governor recall became official, and Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom will face a yet-to-be-determined number of contenders later this year. At least nine people have declared their intentions to run, including Caitlyn Jenner, the Olympian and transgender activist, former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner, and businessman John Cox. Customs and Border Protection officials are reporting Kevin Andre McKenzie was caught at JFK Airport on Monday, allegedly trying to smuggle in 35 live finches from Guyana, stuffed inside plastic hair curlers and concealed inside his clothes. USA Radio News.
America's great cities are in deep trouble. Businesses are closing, taxpayers fleeing, and police are defunded as crime and homelessness rise. It's a dangerous time in big cities like New York, L.A., Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, and more. All this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax TV, exposing the real truth in his series, Cities on Fire. Every night, Rob Schmidt gives you the real news you won't hear anywhere else. So watch Rob Schmidt tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and see his Cities on Fire special. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Plus, get Newsmax free on most smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, and LG. Or tune in on Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. And millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. So start watching America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Because Newsmax is real news for real people.
The Biden administration is selling higher taxes to the American people. Dan Naraki reports.
President Biden is expected to introduce a proposed increase in the capital gains tax Wednesday night during his address to a joint session of Congress as part of a $1.5 trillion spending package for his American Families Plan. The White House says the increase in the tax will affect less than 0.5% of Americans, but critics say it will still have a negative effect on the economy. Senator Steve Daines says it's those people that will be affected most by the tax hike that help drive innovations with their investments. The Montana Republican tells Newsmax TV that jobs will be at risk because of the tax hike.
And I heard the Biden spokesperson say it's just 0.3%. Do you realize that 0.3% pays 64% of the capital gains taxes today? And so what this will do is, I think it will actually reduce the amount of revenue coming in because you raise the rates so high, it locks investors in. They don't want to sell an asset and invest in the next new thing. It creates innovation and spurs the economy. They'll hold it.
President Biden's joint session speech starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby on your radio. So our prayers are with Ashley Babbitt's family. I think the cops were out of control. Nobody was threatened. They didn't need to shoot her at all. They did. There's laws against that, by the way. At least in America, there used to be before the elite class took over. And there was kind of a accountability for me, but not for the plan. All right, Matt Drudge in the news. Headline says, Matt Drudge finally cancels WND or WorldNet Daily after 24 years. An incredible article written by Joseph Farah that I think has some interesting details, Kurt. Now, here's what's kind of interesting. We got into radio. Alex Jones got into radio. WND or WorldNet Daily at the time got into the news. Drudge got into the news. I mean, we all kind of really doubled down and got in at the same time, right around 1991, 92 range. I guess it was the 1992 elections when we really got involved, and it took us a while. It took us several years to buy a radio station. We bought our first radio station in 1996, but we've been on the air longer than that, and this radio program is in its 25th year anniversary this year. So we've been around for a long time. It's hard to know exactly when you claim you started. For example, Liberty Roundtable Live has been on the air for a long time, but right at first it was only a single radio station broadcast. It had a slightly different name. It was called Your Business, Keeping Items of Interest to Your Business. Then one of our listeners said, how about use the term News the Networks Refuse to Use? And we caught on to that. Our buddy Adam, the late Adam, who did a wonderful job, was a great listener and supporter. Anyway, so things have evolved and changed. Now we're worldwide on the internet, nationally syndicated on AM/FM stations across the country and more. I digress from the story, except for Joseph Farah kind of recounts a lot of his involvement as the news services unfolded. You know, you had basically a media tyranny, says Joseph Farah, for decades before 1992 range. And what happened was that the internet brought forth a whole new group of news services, and the gatekeeping days of the mainstream media were gone. And we really showed from 92 to 2015 what the internet could really do for free speech. But now something very ominous has happened. And he kind of tells this story. Kurt, do you want to add to this?
Well, yeah, Sam. You know, as you mentioned, you know, you won't really see this story most places, but WorldNet Daily has it, and they basically, you know, I guess you could say they list what has gone on over those years, or you know, feature it through their story, and you've highlighted some of it, you know, and he talks about how he and Matt Drudge at the time, you know, Joseph Farah and Matt Drudge with WorldNet Daily and the Drudge Report were some of the earliest ones, and I remember us using both of those sources quite a bit for our news, you know, and the news that we would report. And yet, now Matt Drudge or whoever, Joseph Farah says, whoever's running that show, because he feels like Matt Drudge is sold out. He's either sold out, you know, and stayed there, or he's sold to somebody else and they've taken over the Drudge Report because they now, have pretty much canceled WorldNet Daily, you know. And as you said, they document this or recall this 24-year history with what he calls, Joseph Farah calls, a fellow internet pioneer. And we've, like you say, been around watching that thing or participating in that thing the whole time with our buddies helping us along the way. And, you know, he says that he offered Matt Drudge, he tried to hire him. He said, I liked his style. I thought of him as a promising young wire editor, as we called them when I was a newspaper man. This is Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily talking about it. And by the way, Joseph Farah said he's 67, I think he said that in this story.
Yes, that's correct.
He says, I think I offered him, talking about offering Matt Drudge a job back in 97. He offered him about $50,000, he says. He thought about it for a while before deciding on an independent path. He says, Drudge and I were kindred spirits, and I think, you know, I mean, we would fit in that. And friends of ours, Chuck Harder, Jerry Hughes, you know, so many others along the way have been helpful to us. He says, we ran into one another here and there, but he was a loner. You know, this is Farah talking about Drudge. And I was too. Drudge was growing fast, and so was WorldNet Daily, or WND, he says on there. For many years, he was a one-man show. Then he hired Andrew Breitbart. This is pretty interesting documentation, I think, because I couldn't remember that part. I wasn't sure how Breitbart got his start.
Well, it was temporary, and Breitbart worked for Farah for a little bit and then kind of did his own thing, too. Again, all kindred spirits, all
Farah
working on the
Drudge?
Same goals. I'm sorry, Breitbart worked for Drudge, sorry.
Okay, Farah says, who became a good friend, I guess a good friend to Drudge. Between the two of them, we had more than our share of links posted to the Drudge Report. So, you know, I think...
So anyway, as it goes on, he's saying they were all three friends and they all three worked together.
Yeah, that's right. And, he shows a picture of the birth certificate book, or where's the birth certificate book, with the Drudge siren kind of thing at the top of the page, you know, and, you know, talks about that back in 2011. Where's the birth certificate? Remember when we had that interview with Jerome Corsi from, you know, where he was out in Hawaii, Sam? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, he got well, he first went to Kenya, and he got arrested in Kenya. And then he got released in Kenya and flew to Hawaii, and it was like 2 in the morning in Hawaii when we were on the air. I can't remember the exact time or something like that. And yeah. Joseph Farah gets on the radio with us from his hotel room and stuff like that. So, you know, we've been in this mix as long as they have.
Right, Jerome.
I'm sorry, Joseph Corsi. Yeah. Wow. All right, we've had Jerome. Let me start over. We've had Joseph Farah on the radio a ton of times. We'll talk about that coming up. But Jerome Corsi was the one that was in Hawaii in the hotel room that came on the broadcast. That's correct.
Yeah, and he was author of the book, Birth Certificate, or Where's the Birth Certificate, the one that at that time Drudge put up, you know, hey, front page, you know, this big siren about it and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't even think they'd give it the time of day, Sam, as far as, you know, the Drudge Report. And I don't really give the Drudge Report the time of day. I can't remember when the last time I was there.
Well, and Joseph Farah, in his detailed article, even asked that question. He's like, hey, we all used to go to the Drudge Report and refresh pages with bated breath to see what was the next breaking piece or what was happening. When was the last time you went to the Drudge Report, Farah asks. A wise question. I agree. I haven't gone there for a long time. I just went there now, though.
Uh-huh.
And so they got a headline. Their biggest top headline says, Shwebaka, street performer, wanted in New Orleans stabbing. That's their main headline. Wow. That's not really what Drudge would be for and do, would it, Kurt?
Well, not in the old days, Sam.
Right. Then it says a bizarre shooting, an NFL player, Hollywood dead, 80-year-old citizen, study gossip is good for you, woman brutally whipped by the Taliban for talking on the phone, boss snapping, you know, at an angry French worker. DUI driver kills cop investigating DUIs. First black jockey. Rabbi accused of being a covert Christian. New theory for what's happening in the brain when something looks familiar. And then, you know, oh boy.
You know, the main Bezos ones camp. That I go to these days, of course, is WorldNet Daily, and then you got the Epoch Times, you know, that are at least two of my main sources now, where the Drudge Report has just kind of fallen off that, I guess you could say, that pedestal. And, you know, when Joseph Farah says, hey, they've canceled us, that tells me a lot about the Drudge Report. Pretty much tells me that I don't really want to, you know, go see it, you know, go there.
Yeah, China to launch, yeah. Module for the space station, social media algorithms threaten democracy, your tech devices want to read your brain, Newsom to face recall election, Schwarzenegger says Caitlin has chance, so far her campaign's virtual.
So many,
I mean, this is
things,
all we're talking about.
That I can see there, Sam. They may be a lot of, you know, info or whatever, but then the real key stories, you know, like the Frank speech, like the Ashley Babbitt, the, you know, Australia praying for America, you know, they're just not going to show up there.
Now, right? I want to talk about Breitbart a little bit. I want to talk about WND.com a little bit and our experiences coming up. Kurt's going to be with me. Can you stay both hours, Kurt?
Yeah.
All right, hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby. We're talking about this incredible column written by our dear friend Joseph Farah. And Joseph Farah kind of really recounts kind of the history and what's kind of going on here. Drudge finally cancels WND after 24 years, is the article, Joseph Farah. And he goes on and talks about Breitbart. He goes on and talks about Drudge. He goes on and talks about himself, and they all worked together, and they promoted links, and they really showed the world what the internet could do. And I would submit to you that Chuck Harder in radio, Jerry Hughes in radio, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, many others, all of us are kindred spirits, and we all worked together on this. We would quote WorldNet Daily and quote Drudge, and you know, and so it was a symbiotic relationship where we'd all gain information from one another, and we really had a wonderful run. But it's now come to a screeching halt with the shutdown of everything. Now, Joseph Farah goes on and mentions a couple of things that I want to finish about. One of them is he says, you know, Drudge kind of has sold out. And I don't know Drudge personally, and so I don't know what Matt's really done. I don't know if he sold out or if he got shut down, Kurt. We can be critical and say he sold out or betrayed us, but I don't know that that's true. And the reason that I say that is Breitbart kind of went off on his own, but then Breitbart's dead, right, Kurt?
That's exactly right, Sam. And
so, you know, how do you stay alive?
Certainly a little notice to Matt Drudge, you know, said like, hey, man, remember your old buddy Breitbart?
If you don't, remember your old employee there?
If you get outside the, area, you might, you know, never be able to look back.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why I say that is I just know, I mean, I look at it and I know that Ben Swan, for example, is a true faithful patriot that really hits hard. He got shut down for well over a year and completely threatened and shut down. And I mean, he's come back in a little minor way compared to his old days, but not even close to the same. What restrictions he's under or details or what his threatened with was, you know, he hasn't been willing to talk about it. So we don't really even know what happened to Ben Swan. And so I'm telling you that I know this stuff happens to people. And I know there's ways to shut people down and take people off. And so Breitbart dead. You know, Matt now, okay, now Joseph Farah's had his own share of troubles. Not only has he been attacked by the mainstream press and by big tech and everybody else for literally years, but he went through a series of heart attacks. Kurt talks about that there as well.
That's a great point, he talks about their lawsuit, Corsi book, you know, they were beat up by Esquire, they went to the Court of Appeals there, and they had a 2-1 loss. And, he said it wasn't the end of the birth certificate story. Then you got Perkins Coie, that we've heard about this law firm. He talks about them being the fixer for Obama. You know, they were back there He says they, quote, found, end quote, the birth certificate that could not be found even by the governor of Hawaii. They also showed up. I didn't know that they were playing way back then, Sam, but they also showed up later, he says, to pull another rabbit out of a hat in directing Joe Biden's, quote, victory, end quote, in the 2020 election. He says you'll be hearing from them again. They're in solid with Obama and Biden. And, you know, this guy, you know, we've watched Joseph Fair and WorldNet Daily for years and participated with them whatever we could. They dig and they do not pull punches as far as I can see. Now, they've paid for it, but they've also garnered support from people like us. He says there was a time in the bad old days when the people of the world were subjected to a very limited choice of news. You mentioned this before, but I think it's cool the way he says it. He says, but that was before the internet revolution that Drudge, WorldNet Daily, and precious few others launched. He says, then came the Wild West cyber style. Soon there were more choices than you could count. And then he tells about him being 67 and how he remembers a time, and I'm 63, so we're not that far off. But he says he remembers a time when there were only 7 choices of television stations to watch in New York City. Now, I remember growing up in Arizona, back country there, where we only had 3. So, you know, of course. But he
and I was kind of in the middle of that. I was in California, a little bit out in the country in those days, though, in 67, 70 and stuff like that. And we used to have rabbit ears to watch TV. And I don't know exactly how many stations there were, but there weren't very many. That's for sure.
Yep, you didn't have 300 or anything like that, or 3,000. He says in 96, there were only competitive daily newspapers in half a dozen cities. And I would, you know, kind of question the word competitive, because we've seen so many times behind the scenes they just basically work together. The internet in its heyday, Joseph Fair goes on to say, and you mentioned this, circa 2001 to 2015, that was what he'd call the heyday, showed the world what was possible.
He said 2001, but I back it up to 92, Kurt, because believe it or not, we started streaming literally like in 96 and 97 stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go. But anyway, the bottom line.
And in 92, they had text and articles and things on the internet even before we started streaming.
Yep.
So,
and he says,
it's hard to know exactly when the crank up was. I mean, when did you get your first email address? See, I was actually working on with a console. I don't know if people even understand what a console is, but I was typing commands directly into the internet by hand before people even knew what the internet was.
That's amazing. And I remember Sam telling me, oh, you know, this will be the big thing. And I'd be like, come on, Sam. You know, I mean, I think it took you years to get me to get an email address. You know, as far as I know, I mean, I didn't fall for that, if you will. You know, I was so far behind.
Yeah, don't you use your email address now to sell local raw honey?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I use it for, you know, I mean, I even check it like every day. You know, I mean, you know, back then it was like once a month or, I don't know, maybe a year.
It's hard to bank without it even, huh?
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and Joseph Fair goes on and he says, and big tech showed us how to destroy a good thing, how to muzzle free expression. You know, and we had never really seen that. You know, at least as much, except for in this last year here. And he says,
And the reason you haven't, though, Kurt, is because while everybody else was taking a beating on all these other services, I chose not to embrace those services and depend on them like others did.
Right. But what I mean is we've never really seen those guys team up like they did, you know, and Joseph Ferris says it began in an auspicious year, 2015. He says that's when I first saw the signs of something ominous. For decades before that, I taunted Google, Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, and Apple openly. Now, that's pretty courageous. He said, I said they were evil, but I just didn't know how right I was. All it took for them to show their teeth was President Donald J. Trump. He says, I tried to warn him and everyone else I knew. Half my columns in those days were devoted to the new tech tyranny, but it was too little too late. Trump saw it too late when even he became a victim, being banned from Twitter late in his presidency. He's documented very well. It's impressive what he's done here with this story, I think.
Yeah, and he goes on, he talks about his heart attacks that he experienced and how tough that was. And he talks about, you know, the changes. But what I really like about his article, Curtin, you got to read all the way to the end to get it. But what does he say at the end? He doesn't say it's curtains, throw the towel in, give up and melt down. We've been crushed by the big tech, big government thugs. He doesn't end that way, Kurt.
Well, he says, I swear the five massive strokes, and I think that's what you're talking about when you say heart
yes,
attacks,
sir.
But he yeah. says I experienced
I don't know what the difference between a heart attack and a stroke is. Okay.
Well, it's not a stroke of good luck, I know that. It's but anyway, he says I experienced in 2019 were in part due to the tremendous pressure I was under as my business crumbled. Matt Drudge apparently cracked up too. I know for a fact he has passed the baton and is definitely not, quote, running the show, end quote. And who knows what happened to the late Andrew Breitbart. But he says, I have a plan to survive and flourish in the future. In
Ooh,
fact,
wait. I have a plan to survive and flourish in the future. See, I like that language, Kurt.
Well, that's hope. That's hopeful, Sam. He says, in fact, I'd love to be there with questions for Trump's second term. That will be a joyous day, won't it? And he says, maybe Drudge can come back too. I hope so, but I'm not holding my breath. So, you know, good stuff and, good documentation. And it's kind of cool to weave in our story a little bit there as well, Sam.
Yeah. Anyway, I find that interesting, but I like how he talks about I have a plan. So we're going to be keeping our eyes out for his plan. He hasn't rolled out the details of the plan yet. I have a little bit of a personal experience. Well, several personal experiences with Joseph Farah. And I want to next hour get into those in detail. Because I too, have a story related to this. I worked with Joseph Farah on a lot of different things in many ways. And I'll talk about those. I'm not telling you he was my best friend, but I am telling you that I talked on the phone with him several times. He's been on the radio with us several, many times. Most of his reporters have been on the air with us many times. And I want to talk about that in very glowing, I don't know, respect for, appreciation for Joseph Farah and all that he's been through. All right, by the way, stroke versus heart attack, how to tell the difference, Kurt? These two common and potentially life-threatening diseases or conditions have some similarities and some differences, they say. They say the human vascular system contains a vast network of arteries, veins, and capillaries that ferry blood and the oxygen and nutrients that it carries to all corners of the body. Anyway, then they go on with this big stuff, but, you know, what's a stroke? Stroke versus heart attack. It's hard to know the difference, Kurt. They say a stroke occurs when there's an abrupt interruption of blood flow to the brain. There are actually three different kinds of strokes that can occur. And then ischemic stroke or whatever, and hemorrhagic stroke, and anyway, goes on. But what's a heart attack, Kurt? It's when a heart attack fails to pump blood. Anyway, one's kind of downstream from the other, from what I understand. I kind of understand the difference. One's directly related to the heart. One's directly related more to the vessels and stuff like that, right? But you got to kind of understand, you know, what they are. But anyway, so I understand he had a stroke, but really it's kind of the same thing as a heart attack, right? I mean, I know technically, scientifically, there's slight differences, right?
Well, and like you said, his were basically as his business melted down, and it was melting down because of the exact stuff we've been talking about. And we've seen that with our buddy Chuck Harder and so many others. I would mention the Fijos as well, so many others.
Absolutely. It melted down because big tech got in bed with big government, got in bed with big universities, and they created the cabal that is now threatening us all. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Personal stories of Joseph Farah and the judge looking into vote fraud in Arizona. Had to step aside. We'll tell you about that coming up as well. God save the Republic. LibertyRoundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net.